Why don't we talk about your 33-year-old patient with ALK?
Oh, he's a great example of what seemed like impossible, which is now possible. So he was 33 years old. He was a student when he was diagnosed. And he presented initially with central chest pain, which turned out to be pericarditis. And he had thick pericardial rind of tumor, coincident bilateral lung metastases, mediastinal nodes, pleural metastases. And he got admitted. This was in a different state. They did a cardiac window, and he had a TTF1 positive adenocarcinoma. This was before ALK was even known, and he was treated in an outside facility with initially carboplatin and vinorelbine combined with cetuximab. He progressed on that. He decided, he's kind of a hippie kind of guy, he decided he was going to do some alternative therapies for a while. And then his buddy phoned him up and said, you know, there's been some stuff on the news about some stuff going on at University of Colorado. So he happened to be a student at Denver University, and so he came to see us. This is in 2009, and he was ALK positive. And he was one of the first people who went on crizotinib in the phase 1 study, had a dramatic response for 3.5 years, and then he developed brain metastases, but not your usual brain metastases. These were cystic. Now, this is a guy who's traveled around the world when he was a student, and the first thing was they said, well, this is cysticercosis. They're very weird-looking bubbles in his head, and they actually had one biopsied, and it was just mucus. So I don't know whether the crizotinib allowed some differentiation of the cancer to become more mucus-producing, but he had these things. There was almost no edema around them. He didn't have any symptoms, but it was enough to say, well, maybe we should change you to something else.
Did he have any CNS symptoms?
No, none at all. It's completely functional.
Have you ever seen that, incidentally?
Yeah, we wrote it up. Actually, we wrote up a small series of these cystic brain metastases that can occur on crizotinib.
I always know when I hear something weird and say, have you ever seen other cases, you're going to say you had a case series.
Well, you got to get the word out there. Because some, again, you know, you'd
really
see the scan.
Of course.
And you'd panic. You know, this guy looks like he has ping pong balls in his head. And that you'd want to reach for the whole brain radiotherapy. But in this guy, particularly because now we have these next generation drugs and he had no symptoms, the right thing to do was actually to get him onto a next generation drug. And he went on brigatinib again in a study. Brigatinib is now licensed post-crizotinib. The licensed dose is 90 milligrams for 1 week, and then you go up to 180 milligrams. But he was in the phase 1 study. He actually started at 240 milligrams, and he did great. And slowly, 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 these brain metastases got smaller.
Wow.
Maybe they didn't shrink quite so quickly because most of them is mucus, not tumor. But they just, it's like you could just see these balloons deflating in his brain.
Wow. Wow.
And he had a little bit of residual PET avidity at the top of his lung, which disappeared on the drug. And this guy is now 5 years on brigatinib.
Wow.
And he is just starting to see a little bit of regrowth of some of those lesions in his brain. He's now, I think, 9 years from when he was first diagnosed. So he was 33 when he's diagnosed. He's just had his 42nd birthday.
Amazing. I mean, it's an incredible case. And the thing about the brain mets is amazing. But